that does not fit with that?
I think it's just really modern, and I do, you know, we've talked about what does traditional mean, and that's not it, in my opinion.
I mean, I agree with you.
I think it's cool. I think it's, you know, something different, and I would love to see more variety.
In its place, yeah.
Yeah. But.
So we have it sort of traditional. It's divided into two areas, the traditional area in and around Main Street. I think there's a definition here, but I think we would need to put more specifics in, to like with the base, middle, and top, I guess.
Okay.
Because I think right now it says use some of these features, but I wouldn't know where to draw the line. I mean, I guess I would know it when I see it too, but it's like I would have to use the code to be able to tell them to change it.
Right. Okay.
So would you like us to work on...
So even, can you go back to the map you just passed?
Yeah.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. So I don't even know if it needs to be defined by the traditional influence area or the urban, because to me, put that on Alder and you're fine, you know? But I just think the Main Street corridor is a little more...
The pink area.
But even if it was like on Alder at the bottom... I think it would be fine, or on Vista, on the other side.
I think the students originally had just any property touching Main Street as required, and then the Planning Commission thought it would be easier to follow
just
the city center and urban residential zone, but we could change it. It just might need to go back to Planning Commission. I'm not sure if that's substantial.
Right.
Or
and
not.
I guess a big enough building on those streets, you would still see that from Main Street, so... We don't need to throw in another wrench.
Right.
We'll just stick with that.
Well, did you want to maybe look at the definition for traditional influence and see? I'm trying to figure out what other changes we would want to address.
Because what I keep on thinking is it's more about the absence of the base with that one. But I don't know. I mean, maybe it's a different differentiation of materials.
All about that base.
Because this would meet most of the requirements, I think, with... Just besides the distinction, like if I was going through a checklist, it's like, yes, it's distinct here and different materials, there's balconies, there's features, there's an entrance on the public street.
To me, the thing that makes that, one of the things that makes that non-traditional is the lack of any kind of solid hard surface, you know what I mean? I think of traditional as having stone, brick, at least even if it's just the cornerstones. Whereas that is all, you know, it's all
Rubik's cube
siding, right, all the way down to the. but you know, I think that's for me personally, that's what makes that less traditional than say a different building. If that was had a brick facade, I think you could easily make an argument for that being a traditional style.
Right. It probably is the base that is.
Yeah, exactly.
So one of the things with RX Mart that we were, I think it was RX Mart that mm-hmm. we had some challenges with, is they had originally wanted to have different siding materials, and they only wanted to take the siding materials up, was it them or was it some, they only wanted to take the siding materials up a certain way, or to a certain height.
Yeah.
And we felt that was pandering to the code instead of meeting the intent of the code. And so we have them go much more. Where I can see that really happening is you say, okay, you want those materials. We're going to put those materials, and it's going to come up to your knee.
Right.
And then it looks like it's a design by code instead
right.
of being more organic. So it is very much, you know, if you see it, and giving us the ability to talk about the use of those traditional materials in order to create a solid base, that's where then the reliance on staff to a certain extent is saying, no, you're not creating a solid base just by going up to knee level, but you could by going up to the entire first floor.
Right.
In this case, but in another case, it might be, you know what, you just did it, those traditional materials as an accent on one wall, and it works. Good on you. So that's
yeah.
the...
Yeah.
So you just want some discretion.
You know, I don't like using the word discretion. I think, what was it, common sense? No.
So it this part applies to just city center zone right here with the base distinction. Mm-hmm. Does require modulation between the base and then using a combination of these features below. And I think it's a little bit more flexible as you get outside of it. So,
so one of the things that Rebecca said is color. She didn't like the black. And, you know,
I like the black.
You like the black? She does like blood. But do we want to define color on here? Because I remember talking years ago with another council member about wanting like a consistent color scheme for the downtown core.
I think before it said darker colors, and then it was changed to, oh.
Colors shall be internally compatible. That sounds interesting.
No specific color scheme is required by code. I think there's a couple other sections.
So
awnings, dark.
You require the color in the original construction, but what happens if it changes hands and the new owner comes in and is like, I'm going to paint it pink?
Right.
I mean, at some point, do they have discretion?
I think we can say pink isn't compatible. I mean, right?
Well,
or
solid dark
colors are preferred,
careful,
but there's definitely not
the
just specific colors.
What if they do?
10 years ago, 15 years ago, and it's the new coat of paint, and I'm going to paint it whatever color I want. Can I do that?
Council can say that they don't.
Do I have to get a permit to paint my building downtown?
Councils elsewhere have had a color palette, and, you know,
the Connor, very famously,
yeah,
has a color palette.
I like that idea, color palette.
What that does is it does put us in a position of course, enforcing, mm-hmm, where, you know, someone goes, they do it over the weekend, they've spent significant amounts of money, perhaps, to repaint it, and then the city says no. And then, yeah, then it is on social media of, look at this, you know, draconian approach. And that's fine. It's just something where it's Ferndale's trying to kill the music, but we're trying to kill color. I mean, it is what will happen at some point.
It sure will.
Doesn't mean that we can't do it, though.
I mean, sometimes the color can make it more modern looking, but I think it would also be fun to have different colors. If it's pink, then pink.
We do have a pink building downtown, don't we?
And we don't have a consistent theme through downtown.
We don't.
So it's not like we're Leavenworth, so suddenly having a pink building will really stand out.
There's also, we can legally do it. This is artwork, or, hey, the city's murals have this color on it, or are bright, and you can't, this is my mural. You know, that there is, we can legally do it. It might be a can of worms to a certain extent if we try to enforce.
It's not a sand and beige world we live in.
Thank goodness.
Sand, beige, and black.
I don't know. I like the way that we're encouraging certain things, but I do think it should be flexible for other options.
Okay. So I just had a couple more changes. There's about three left that we could point out to the committee, and then okay, so there was a conversation about the corner building design regulations versus entrances at the last committee meeting, and staff proposed to change it to clarify that when a building fronts on either Main Street or Vista Drive, entrances shall be provided on those streets, and just kind of cleaned up the language a little bit to make it make more sense. I don't know if that addressed the comment or not. If you want more time to look at it, too,
yeah,
we can work through it.
They're never going to front on both.
That's, yeah. Because Vista and Main don't. There's not an option where that would even happen.
Right. Okay.
And if you want to look at it a little bit closer, too, I can bring this back to the next committee meeting. So.
Yeah, I think that's better.
Okay. And then just a minor change, we just revised window fenestration. I don't even know how to say that, fenestration, to say window arrangement. Just it's an easier word to understand. I don't think most people would know what that meant. So that was just a minor change that staff proposed.
Plain language.
Plain language.
Well, fenestration is the right word to use.
It is the right word. So yeah, we can talk about it. That we were thinking it's just not as easy to understand. Or well, so right. So this is the change that staff changed since the last committee meeting. So from fenestration to window arrangement. Windows and window arrangement.
We can do fenestration.
We can't. I wasn't really sure what that meant either, but that doesn't mean.
I mean, maybe if you say, well, I mean, say fenestration and window arrangement, but that's...
Or window arrangement, fenestration in parentheses.
In window arrangement?
Right.
Okay.
I guess
I'm
it's
okay
not
either way. I don't have a strong feeling either way, other than I think it's
okay.
Just
it's
confusing.
Unusable as a Scrabble word. Too many letters.
So would you like to leave that in, or...
And you could put windows and window and arrangement, parentheses, fenestration.
Yeah.
Exactly. Just in reading it, it seemed to come off as jargony, where we know more than you do, applicant. But I think that, you know, explaining it.
Yeah. To me, that's a word everybody should know. I try to put a different hat on.
So you think it should stay, the word?
I mean, you have all of these other, you know, you have, as far as your beginning here, I mean, you use other words like pilaster, parapet, lintel, I mean... To me, I'd have to Google some of those. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It's not a big deal.
I can word it. Yours idea, I think, was okay. Windows and windows arrangement, and then in parentheses, fenestration.
That way, they learn while we're going.
Yep, that's fine.
A learning exercise.
You could put parapet, pointy thing at top.
Uh-huh. Okay, so this was just another kind of weird one, and we'd like input from the Planning and Land Use Committee on it. It's fence regulations, and it just states that the fence needs to be vertically oriented board or pickets located along Class A streets, and then it said, if not capped, top ends should be modulated, and I think what it meant was I'm not sure what that meant. To be honest, I think that it just meant vertically oriented, but if you don't have caps on top of the fence, it should be not, and we couldn't really figure out what that meant, so we just took it out and basically proposed it to say vertically oriented pickets.
I think it could have been two things, where either the pickets are of different heights, you know, to create like a kind of curve, or that the pickets cannot just be the blunt ends of boards, that they have to have some sort of decorative element on top, like a spike or, you know, to have a beveled edge or something like that. But that's not what the code says. I think that might have been the original intent of the code, but it was kind of unenforceable.
The skulls of your enemies.
You can have skulls of enemies, for sure.
So I can't do a horizontal fence, horizontal line fence?
No.
Not how it reads right here, I don't think.
Why would you want to do it?
Because it's cool. It looks nice. It's different.
It says it is not. Now it says you could.
It'll look like a wood sandwich.
Yeah, is there a reason that it's required?
In 2006, it was really important.
I think you already wrote this.
I wasn't sure.
Do we even need that at all? Whole D?
If we take it out, then it would allow for horizontal and vertical. So.
Yeah, I mean, I would like flexibility with whatever fencing people
I think the world may come to an end.
You do see places where they make a differentiation between certain elements of fencing. So we're still stocking in an area where you might have a dumpster, for example, where, you know, in that fence surround you do. I see it, but you might do a different stuff. I just, you know, I don't really
like a lattice.
Sure.
We could remove it, and if we start getting, you know, dozens of horizontal fences that don't fit, we could reevaluate it. I guess at that time, I mean,
it's all your fault.
Yeah, because I think, you know, it is a more modern look sometimes.
Yeah.
If we get more modern buildings, the fence should match the building. So.
Okay, so I can revise that, and then the last section I think relates to. I'm glad Kevin's here, actually. Relates to providing outdoor features in the public right-of-way. So this one, I think, is what we would like input on the most. The rest seem pretty straightforward, and I'll let you read through the rest. B1. So it states, street furniture and accessories shall be added to the public space in relation to the scale of each development. And then we added subject to review and approval through encroachment permit, just to say it's not a done deal until you go through the encroachment permit process. But then below, there's a standard here that requires a certain amount of outdoor features. So any building with 10,000 square feet of commercial or retail space shall provide ground floor outdoor space available to the public at a rate of 20 square feet per 1,000. So it's giving a very specific standard for us to follow, and I'm not sure if that's what the city council would like to see, or if we should allow more flexibility in that, such as if, you know, the applicant would like to paint a mural instead or do some other feature that still contributes. Do we really need a hard number, right, that requires all of this outdoor activity? It may conflict with some public works requirements too. If, you know, we're saying you have to put something outside and the sidewalk's only 5 feet there and there's not room, I think it kind of locks everybody into a code that you can't really follow in every case. So if there's a way to make it maybe more flexible, I think that would be staff's opinion. So we just have in here, for example, should the open space be on the lot itself? Should this be physical open space? Should a development to fill an existing open space? What about offsite improvements? What about a mural or similar option? Or should this be left fairly open-ended, where we say that we have something that the applicant gets to help define in order to meet the public requirement?
Yes, I think we should take out that very prescriptive section.
We could say provide outdoor space where feasible, or, I mean, I can work on language there, but maybe take out the specific numbering, but have them present some sort of feature that still provides space.
I think we run the risk, if we don't have minimums in there, that, you know, it's like, here's your chair.
Right, that's true. I mean, yeah, it's just a question.
Good, right?
Yeah, right.
It's a pretty bench.
It is.
So it currently would require 200 square feet?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's not very good.
It's
not,
but... Is it on their private space where, sorry, you need to accommodate it on your space, or what if they propose it in an area where we should not allow it? You know, Leader Block is a good example. You know, they're right on a corner, and they've utilized a significant amount of space on the corner, where if they were to utilize any amount more than that, which they sometimes do, then they are actually getting to the public space and causing ADA issues. And that's where, you know, it's been a constant enforcement issue for us, is regulating them back to where they need to be to protect the rest of the population.
And their liquor license.
And
their liquor license.
Right.
You don't need anybody.
So I guess it's just a question for the committee, whether to leave the prescriptive regulation in place or work on making it more flexible, or just leave it and kind of continue to monitor the specific regulation of the code as we get projects.
Yeah. We could leave it in a note. This could be amended later if we ran across some issue, right?
Yeah. And there might be, I'm kind of thinking, just because there was so many changes to this as we use it, if I see something, I think I'm just going to keep a list, and if there's something that staff runs into that's, man, we changed this and it's, that was not, this is not working, I'm fine bringing it back through. I think that that's something that we could easily do, just because since there's so many changes, there might be something that we notice specifically that's like, maybe we should take a second look, but you wouldn't realize there was something wrong until you actually used it on a project. So I'm fine doing that.
I wonder if we can just maybe add to this and say, unless the applicant can demonstrate it's not appropriate and has an alternate plan or, you know, something like that.
Unless determined infeasible or
yeah.
Or acceptable alternative.
Right. Yeah, I don't want to waive
discretion.
A requirement, you know, but
right.
If this isn't feasible, you know,
or
what
acceptable
else?
Alternative that meets the intent of this resolution, I guess.
Well, and I mean, I think that we should see how successful or not this is, but I think utilizing both the Arts Commission and PERTAB, where when we do have unusual things like that, you know, kind of saying, hey, here's a piece of art, or here's an art installation. What are your thoughts? Without getting so far into, this is my definition of art, but I think using those bodies for those can be something we can look at in the future.
Okay, so I think that's the main changes that I've worked through. I can update the staff report to reflect what we've discussed during this committee, and then I'm planning on bringing it back, and we'll have it actually uploaded online this time so that you can go through, and if you find any last-minute items that you'd like to address, or if you'd like to meet with me separately and kind of go over it before the July 1st public hearing, there's still time. So it's just a pretty big code, so if you want to look through and talk to me about it, I'm happy to meet with you.
Okay. Thank you. Can you also email us the staff report, or just get it
uploaded?
Yep. It's fine.
We can email you the latest version, and then the new one you'll get with the routine packets.
Good.
Can I bring something up about a future agenda item?
Yes.
So accessory dwelling units, we approved it in 2017, end of 2017. So it allows for mother-in-law suites basically to be built in the residential areas in Ferndale. And there's a size limit on it of 800 square feet. It's allowed to have one bedroom. It's required to have one parking stall. And the owner needs to live on the site. And then for detached units, the height was up to 16 feet and still could only be 800 square feet, still provide parking. And when we were working through all the details, staff had proposed late in the process to cap it at 10 units citywide, just because
it was a pilot program.
It was a pilot program, right? And we were trying to perfect it, and it just said, let's roll it out and see how this is working. So we've hit 10 units, and we're not accepting any accessory dwelling units. And the code requires that staff takes it back to City Council to basically look over the code again. So I'm bringing that to the next committee meeting, and we're no longer accepting the applications. There's a few people who are, like, I guess, waiting, right? It doesn't seem like an emergency. But we've had 10. They've all been attached accessory dwelling units, and most of them are just the true mother-in-law suites. They have grandma living in their house with them, so... Anyway, I wanted to know if you wanted to see the, do you want to see the individual floor plans for each one or where they're located? Do you want to see just the code? Staff isn't proposing many changes. I think some of the paperwork requirements we're hoping to extend just to relieve some burden on staff, and then increase the units to either another 20 and then we look at it again, or just take the cap off and allow it to be unlimited. So just if you have any ideas what you'd like me to include, I can. I'm planning on just bringing the ordinance and saying, here's what's worked. You know, overall, it's worked really well. I almost don't know if I have anything very specific to change. So it would be up to City Council if the City Council wanted to increase the bedrooms or reduce parking requirements. So those elements that came up during the original discussion that, you know, we talked about. So that should be fun. So I'll bring that back. And just if you think of anything you'd like to see, let me know before the next committee.
You said they've all been attached so far?
Everything's been attached.
Mm-hmm. How well have the neighbors accepted what's happened?
I haven't received complaints about any of the permitted accessory dwelling units. Right. I haven't seen much on Facebook either.
That's what's important.
A couple have been part of new construction, so I don't think the neighbors knew any different, right? They just built their house and had an ADU just in there, so it was kind of cool because they could build it to suite. And we had a couple of the newer homes off Viewpoint Estates, those larger houses, two of them have accessory dwelling units, and they really liked it because they're putting their parents down there from, they lived in Canada and have a place to come and stay now. And then we had, I think, one or two legal units that were actually permitted, so we got them up to, they weren't unsafe, but it's nice to get them permitted, have them pay the fees and admit they have a unit. So we had a couple people come in, and then a few attached to a house where they just popped out the house and added it. So I haven't received any complaints so far, but, you know, a lot of these were just permitted very recently, so it's kind of hard to tell, but so far I haven't heard anything negative about it. I think it's working really well, and a lot of people really like the code and how simple it is and easy to use. So
I thought we had just done the code where you would bring an update back. I didn't realize we were stopping all future applications.
Right. It basically puts it on hold. I can read you this section in here. If we have, we just have a couple minutes. I'll pull that up really quick.
I mean, obviously you know what it says.
Well, it does make it so we just don't keep taking them in. And we just recently took in the last one, so I don't think anything's on fire. We don't have a line of people out the door just, you know, super upset about it.
Okay.
Whichever. So I'm supposed to inform you in writing. That'll be the staff report I bring next time.
The threshold for ceasing app acceptance.
Yeah, so it says cease. So, yeah, basically we're required to, just in case, like, we got 10 and then 100 the next day. I think that was the point. Just 10, and then we look at it again, make sure that everything hasn't, you know, failed with the ordinance.
Okay.
I have heard from a couple people the height of the detached unit is pretty low, and there are people who would like to do a unit above a detached garage, and the only way to get around the code, I guess, is to attach the garage to the house, so then you can go up to 35 feet and put the ADU above it. So I don't know how detailed you want to get with it's just been comments over the counter, so we can go through each section, and I can explain what the regulations are and where it may be more restrictive than other cities. So I just a heads up that that's coming next time, and we're hoping to move it through sooner than later, just so if there are people waiting, they can go ahead and submit.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
Yeah,
thanks. We good? Okay, mm-hmm. We're adjourned.